Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
As March turns to April, after spending much of the year sheltered from the storm of coronavirus, New York, once the epicenter of COVID-19, is beginning to slowly open back up. Offices, restaurants, sports venues, even soon Broadway. But this welcome news also comes with a stark warning.
We are watching particularly the reopening of some of the, you know, highest risk activities with concern.
This week on 880 In Depth, our conversation with New York City's Health Commissioner, Dr. David Choksi.
Now is not the time to throw caution to the wind.
Welcome to 880 In Depth. I'm Tim Scheld from WCBS News Radio 880. No one would argue that we would all like to move on from this long, strange chapter in our lives. And yes, more and more people are getting the vaccine. We are building herd immunity. But it is most definitely a race between vaccinations and the spread of those new versions of COVID-19, the more contagious variants. New York's case numbers, which had been steadily declining, are now essentially flat or even rising. We wanted to hear more about this, especially given the pace of reopening. Our Peter Haskell got on the phone with New York City Health Commissioner Dr. Dave Choksi.
We are watching this with concern. I would, of course, much rather see cases and also our hospitalizations plunging rather than plateauing, which is where we are right now, particularly with our vaccination efforts really picking up the pace, which we do think will help, bring those curves down further. But on the other side of the equation, we have the new variants, which we know are more infectious, which is causing our case numbers to be higher than they would be otherwise.
Which variants are you most concerned about, and what is it about them?
We're watching several different variants of concern and variants of interest. The two that are the most prevalent thus far in New York City are B1526, which was first identified here in the city, as well as B117, which was first identified in the United Kingdom. But beyond those two, we have also seen cases of all of the other variants of concern that are being tracked by the CDC, including the ones that were first identified in South Africa, Brazil, and California. But rather than get lost in the alphabet soup of variants, I have just clear messages that I want to distill out for New Yorkers, which is, regardless of whether it's a newer version of the virus or the older version, we do know what works to curb the spread. And it's what I call the safe six. Masking, distancing, hand washing, staying home if you're feeling ill, getting tested, and getting vaccinated when it's your turn.
Do we have a sense if the vaccines are as effective against these variants?
We're watching this very closely, studying it ourselves here in New York City and also following the science around the world. Thus far, what we know is that the vaccines do appear to be effective against almost all of the variants, particularly when we're talking about protecting people against severe illness. That's COVID-19, you know, that causes hospitalization or, in the worst case, deaths. So it does appear thus far that the vaccines remain quite protective, even with these new variants. There are some of the variants, particularly the ones that were first identified in South Africa and Brazil, which do appear to somewhat reduce the effectiveness of our immune responses, both our natural immune responses as well as the responses due to vaccination. So that's an area that we have to continue to follow closely to understand the real world impact. But again, my message, you know, for New Yorkers is that we have three vaccines that are safe, effective, and life-saving, and everyone should get vaccinated when it's their turn because it will offer them good protection.
Are we getting the vaccines out as efficiently as we should?
We have really worked night and day over the last, you know, several months to scale up and speed up our vaccination campaign. And here in New York City, you know, for the vaccines that we get delivered from the federal government, we're essentially using up that supply within just a few days, getting those shots into arms very quickly, and particularly doing it in a way that we seek to protect people who are most vulnerable to severe COVID-19 disease. That's older New Yorkers, as well as people with underlying health conditions. Now, I do want to acknowledge we still don't have the supply of the vaccine that we need from the federal government. In the city, our capacity to administer vaccination is greater than the supply that we're receiving. So we do anticipate that that will pick up in the coming weeks, and that will enable us to scale up our campaign even further.
Why was it such a mess trying to get an appointment?
Yes, you know, we have heard of the challenges with, you know, with getting an appointment. Many of those challenges boil down to the fact that, unfortunately, we haven't had the supply that we need. And, you know, so as soon as doses are delivered to New York City, we are able to open up appointments, but the people who are eligible and who want to get vaccinated far exceed those number of slots that we're able to open up. So, you know, that has created some challenges, but we expect that that will improve as the supply of vaccination also improves.
The data showed that whites are receiving shots at roughly twice the rate of blacks and Latinos. How do you fix that?
This is a very important part of how we're thinking about our responsibility with the vaccination campaign. At the individual level, you know, we want people to think about vaccination as safe, free, and easy. And in my job, you know, at the city level, I want our campaign to be safe, swift, and equitable. And that last piece is really what you're asking about. So we are working to ensure equity in our response through, you know, making sure that our sites are placed in some of the hardest hit neighborhoods, particularly where we know communities of color have borne the brunt of this pandemic. So, for example, 77% of our city sites for vaccination are located in those hardest hit neighborhoods. But access is a very important first step, but it's not enough. It has to be paired with outreach. And that part of it really requires, you know, a degree of humility from the health department and from city government as a whole to say there are institutions and people in communities who are trusted, you know, in those neighborhoods, whether it's faith leaders or neighborhood organizations that have been working in places for decades. And so our approach is very much to partner with those people and those groups to get out good information, science-based information, answer people's questions, ensure that they are equipped with what they need to be able to access vaccination and build confidence in the process of getting vaccinated.
You know, I'm curious, how much of this is about access and how much is it about skepticism?
Yes, you know, both are important, but I would point out that, you know, it may be a false dichotomy because we know that when you set up access right and when you do it in a way that's in partnership, for example, bringing vaccine to churches and, you know, setting up mobile clinics in the places and the spaces where people already have a degree of trust, that helps to build confidence. It also helps to spark the conversations that we need to happen within, you know, a temple or a mosque or a synagogue, having people share their own stories of why they chose to get vaccinated. And so our goal is to do the things that we can to improve access, but always with an eye toward building confidence and addressing some of the very reasonable questions and concerns that people may have about vaccination. You know, I often think about this from the clinical perspective, thinking about the conversations that I've had with my own patients over the years. And so much of building confidence is in making sure that you're able to have a conversation that is iterative, you know, understanding someone's values and experiences, sharing a little bit of why you think the vaccine is so important and safe and effective, and allowing people to come to that on their own time frame, you know, and working through it in a way that they're comfortable with. We've tried to do that with our citywide approach as a whole.
A year ago, Dr. Choksi was right in the thick of the COVID fight, working for the Health and Hospitals Corporation in Queens. He left the HHC leadership last May, but continued working on the front lines of the pandemic and working to document New York City's response. In August, when Health Commissioner Barbeau resigned, citing frustrations with strategy, Mayor de Blasio turned to Dave Choksi, naming him the new health commissioner. He has been the public face of New York City's COVID fight ever since, even appearing in radio and TV ads to encourage vaccines, masks, and distancing. And now, a big challenge is to get everyone to stay the course, especially given the pent-up demand for travel and just connecting with friends and family again. And with spring break now arriving,
We are, you know, looking at this very closely and, you know, advising that non-essential travel, you know, should really be limited right now, because we do know that, that non-essential travel has been linked, you know, to the spread of COVID-19. So I do, you know, want people to take that into account, particularly if you haven't been fully vaccinated yet, because you know, because that is something that can facilitate the spread, and you know, is likely related to the spread of the new variants of the virus as well. So you know, there may be certain circumstances where people absolutely need to travel for health reasons, or you know, family emergencies or otherwise. But when it comes to vacations and spring break, we've got to push through these next few weeks, get more people vaccinated, see our cases really come down more significantly, and then we can all enjoy a much safer and healthier summer vacation or fall break.
But I have to tell you that I know a lot of people who are traveling next week, and I'm curious if that's a worry for you.
Yes, it is a worry for me, because of, you know, the reasons that we know with respect to the spread of COVID-19. And, you know, what I would say is that, you know, if people absolutely have to travel, you know, recognizing that not everyone, you know, will make the choice to not travel, make sure that you're doing it as safely as possible. You know, getting tested before traveling and once you come back, ensuring that you're taking all of the precautions, wearing a face covering, you know, appropriately distancing, Following the right isolation and quarantine protocols, if that is a choice that people have to make.
You know, there's been a criticism of the governor of trying to perhaps open things too quickly. The mayor has been critical. And yet the mayor is talking about bringing back city workers in May. How is that different?
Well, I think what you have heard from the mayor and from me and the health department is now is not the time to throw caution to the wind. We have a chance to be in the home stretch of this marathon that all of us as New Yorkers have been in, bearing witness to so much tragedy and suffering over the last few months. So we are watching particularly the reopening of some of the, highest risk activities with concern because that can lead to, further spread of COVID-19. And we have a chance to really turn the corner on the pandemic, if we enable vaccination to continue proceeding, if we, stay cautious for just a little while longer. So those are the basic principles that we're working toward. At the same time, we do have to plan for the eventual recovery of New York City. And we do know that particularly with, vaccination expanding, more and more New Yorkers getting protected, that there will be a point, later this year, and hopefully sooner rather than later, when we'll be able to bring much more of the city back to the vibrancy that we remember. And so it is appropriate to plan for that, including the return of the city workforce that is so fundamental to everything that happens in New York City, even as we stay cautious in the near term and we follow the data and the indicators to make any adjustments that we need to between now and then.
I know we have just a couple more minutes to go. You talk about turning the corner. How much more time do you think that's going to take?
Yes, there is some uncertainty with this, in part because of the variants and because we have seen this virus is just such a formidable foe. It's humbled us at every turn. So we have to acknowledge that it's something that we have to follow, each day, each week, watching the numbers like hawks to understand what the trajectory of the pandemic is and adjusting our actions appropriately, starting with the actions that each of us can take to protect ourselves and our communities. The other number that we have now in our equation is vaccination. And the more people who are able to get vaccinated, the more that helps to build our community's immunity. And that's what gives me more hope for the next few months that, after a few more weeks of ramping up our vaccination, a few more weeks of holding steady and remaining disciplined and vigilant when it comes to our public health guidance, that by as soon as summer, maybe late summer or into the fall, we'll be seeing a much different picture here in New York City with respect to the pandemic.
You took over as commissioner in August, coming from HHC. What's different about the job looking from the outside and then being on the inside?
Well, it's been such a privilege to serve as health commissioner, particularly at this historic time for New York City. I've always admired the New York City Health Department because of its commitment to the core values of science and equity and compassion for our fellow New Yorkers. So there is much, that is just an extension of what I had appreciated, from the outside. But one of the things that I've really appreciated taking the helm of the department is the extraordinary staff and the dedication and the commitment that people bring to work every day. I can't convey with enough depth the gratitude that I and really all New Yorkers should feel for the staff of the health department who have been working tirelessly over the last few months to help protect the health and the lives of New Yorkers. Often, you know, it is unsung work. It's behind the scenes. And so it's been a privilege for me to take a look behind the curtain and just understand how extraordinary the team members here at the health department are.
Commissioner, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter. It's been a pleasure.
Our thanks to Dr. Dave Choksi and to Peter Haskell. In Depth is a production of WCBS News Radio 880. The executive producers are Peter Haskell and myself, Tim Scheld. Find us wherever you get your podcast. Just search 880 In Depth. And as always, please be safe.
Engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.